Well, our first scripture reading today is the response reading of Psalm 8, found on page 743 and 744. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your glory is chanted above the heavens by the mouths of babes and infants. You have set up a defense against your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the star which you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, and mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them little less than God, and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The word of God for the people of God.
On this Holy Trinity Sunday, we go back literally to the beginning so that our second Hebrew Bible lesson comes from the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:1 through 2:4a. And this is great because you got to go all the way back to the first page in your Bible. So if you pull out the Pew Bible in front of you, if you want to follow along, open it till you get the big words that say Genesis on page 1. Hear these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the night, the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind, and it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them all for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture lesson is from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 13. It can be found on page 175 in the New Testament, the approved Bible. Please follow along if you're able. "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us now turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It's ironic, we read the beginning of it all in Genesis 1, and we had the very end of the second letter to Corinthians by Paul. And now we have the very end of the scripture of Jesus according to Matthew. Beginnings and ends, Alpha and Omega. If you want to follow along, it's in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 32. There's where you find Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Hear these words. "Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I know this is not the normal pattern, but you can't walk away from a prayer that says Trinity Sunday prayer. So let me ask you to pick up your hymnal and to find in your hymnal number 76. It's right next to the song we sang earlier. So if you would find that. You don't have to stand this time. See on the right side there, it says Trinity Sunday. Let us pray this prayer together. Holy God, you have given us grace by the confession of the faith of your holy church to acknowledge the mystery of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see in your eternal glory one God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Well, just a reminder, as you are well aware, today is Trinity Sunday. It's also Peace with Justice Sunday. And clearly, given the number of Hawaiian shirts, it's also Father's Day. But these are not unrelated events. In fact, there are many connections. For many of us, the idea of the Holy Trinity is a profound and perhaps you might say foundational message. It is so central and it is so familiar that we may not even pay attention to it, or we may not even recognize the radical meaning of it in itself. But if you take this idea of the Trinity to heart, it can literally transform your life and your worldview. And it is an idea, a concept as we know it, that is not even found in the Bible. When we understand the Holy Trinity more fully, we will begin to understand the identity and the true nature of God a little bit more. And when we understand the identity and the true nature of God, we will have a clearer picture of our own identity and our own nature as God intended us to be. Let me give you a quick little story. When I was a little guy growing up in Ohio, my mom taught me how to pray. Every night when my mom would come in to my room to say goodnight and tuck me in, she would sit on the side of my bed and we would pray together. And we would always begin and end our prayers in the same way. We would both fold our hands. That's the way they showed it in Catholic Church. So you had to do this if you were going to pray. So we both fold our hands and we would say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, kingdom without end. Amen. Every night, that was the bookend prayer to my kid litany of my concerns that I offered to God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, kingdom without end. Amen. Well, let's take a closer look at what I mean about the identity and nature of God shedding light on our own identity and our own intended nature. And what did I mean when I said that the Holy Trinity is not in the Bible? What's he saying? Well, obviously, we find mention of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in many places throughout the New Testament, including in both the epistle lesson that we had read and also the gospel lesson for today. In fact, if you listened to the passage from Matthew, you heard the exact language that we use in our baptism service. So it's familiar language. But the name Holy Trinity and the concept that we understand of the unity of the three persons of God, that idea is itself not found in the pages of our Bible. It's not there. But one God, three persons. That is a fairly sophisticated and brain-stretching concept of theology that was actually derived in the 4th century of the early church. And frankly, it's a way for our puny human minds to begin to get a handle on the identity and nature of God. It's a way for us to package God so God makes sense. And over the centuries, we've used different names for this Holy Trinity. When I was a little guy, we talked about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Anybody remember that? And then it got changed to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we recognized that God didn't have to always be male. And so we talked about God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. And it's this last list that I think begins to help us understand God's true identity and true nature. God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. When you start breaking that open, these names speak to us about God's functions, if you will, in relation to God's self and in relation to God's people. This might be a time to take a look at that strange symbol on the front of your bulletin. That actually represents Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer in all its unity. When you start thinking about God, you may come up with language you've heard before. God is omnipotent, which means that God is all-powerful. God is omniscient, which means that God knows everything. And God is omnipresent, which means that God is everywhere at once. And God is love. God created the heavens and the earth, as we read about in this Genesis story, in order to give embodiment to God's love. God created people in God's image because God wanted to give expression to this magnificent love. But human beings quickly found out that their foundational nature was as sinners. And from the beginning, people found it difficult to follow God's instructions, even though they were for their best interest. Again, God loves us so much that God did everything possible to win back God's people, including coming to earth as a human man in order to announce the coming kingdom of God and also to die for our sins. God loved us that much. And Jesus himself said in the Gospel of John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him, everyone may not perish, but may have eternal life." Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And I ask you, is that love or what? And finally, as you well know, when Jesus left this world, he promised to be with us always in the power and the movement of the Holy Spirit, always sustaining us in his love and the promise of the coming kingdom. God's true nature is manifest in God's love, expressed in different forms. But God's nature can probably best be described as relational. The relationship between God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer, that relationship is the key. And God's relational love is most fully expressed in the relationship that God desires to have with each of us. It is the relationship that is the key. So, what about our identity and our intended nature? As both the Genesis passage and the Psalm 8 itself point out so beautifully, each of us is the product of our loving Creator. Each of us is a child of God. Does that make your head swell to think of yourself as a child of God? Well, you are. Each of us is made in God's image in order to enjoy and to reflect God's love in everything we say, everything we think, everything we do. God wants each of us to be a disciple of Jesus Christ so that we may work to help bring about God's kingdom here on earth. And from the very beginning, God intended that we are to be in relationship with God, in relationship to all of God's creation, and in relationship with all of God's people. Each of us is to be creative in our expression of God's love, to work tirelessly to redeem ourselves and try to live a life without sin, to work tirelessly to try to sustain each other, all of those who are the least, the last, and the lost among us. This is kingdom living. Because of God's love, we are God's people made to be in relationship. And Jesus has already given us our mission, our purpose. Go, therefore, and make the disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I will always be with you to the end of the age. Listen and hear these words of Paul. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. My sisters and brothers, we live, we laugh, we love in the name of the Holy Trinity. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, kingdom without end. Amen.